Power to the people.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Who says protesting doesn't make a difference? French President Jacques Chirac announced today that his country's doing away with that new law that makes it easier to fire young workers. Instead, the government says it will help kids from troubled backgrounds find jobs. Students and unions have been demonstrating against the law for weeks. The government hoped it'd be a way to reduce sky-high unemployment among French youth. In this country, people have been taking to the streets over the immigration issue. Congress is on break for spring recess, but there are more rallies scheduled for today. And advocates for illegal immigrants aren't the only ones marching. Jeff Tyler explains.
The organization Church World Service helps refugees from places like Somalia and Liberia. These are legal immigrants to the USA, but spokesman Joseph Robertson says they could get tarred with the same anti-immigrant brush.
Even for those people who have come here legally, who are working hard, who are paying taxes, they would encounter difficulties because of the House bill.
That bill would make it a felony to hire undocumented workers. Robertson worries the legislation might spook prospective employers. Most refugees in his program can't speak English when they arrive. In the past, employers look past it, giving them jobs on the assembly line or in construction. But now?
They might think twice about people coming from other countries when they were looking at employing them.
Members of Congress now have 2 weeks off before they have to face the thorny issues of compromise. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
A delegation of Chinese leaders is on a two-week tour of the U.S. right now. Tomorrow, those folks will be in Washington for trade talks. The big issues are the value of the Chinese currency, cheap Chinese goods pouring into this country, and piracy. The World Trade Organization is getting involved, but will it have any pull? Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
China entered the WTO in 2001 after years of campaigning to join. But as a member, will it buckle under pressure from the world body? Peter Morisi is a former chief economist at the U.S. International Trade Commission. He's skeptical the WTO will have much influence.
China believes it can thumb its nose at international rules, it can march to its own drummer.
Morisi believes sanctions are the answer. But Donald Strassheim of Roth Capital Partners disagrees.
But if they want to play in the international markets, they've got to adopt rules that are more in tune with those accepted around the world.
Strassheim says China will float its currency. It'll just take longer than the U.S. and others would like. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
China is making its skies a little more friendly to foreign airplanes. The Wall Street Journal says China's opening a new corridor of airspace that could trim 30 minutes off flights between Asia and Europe. It'll also save airlines $30 million a year in fuel costs. Boy, I'm sure they're glad to hear that one. Speaking of fuel costs, gas in this country soared more than a penny a day in the last 2 weeks, 17 cents. Regular unleaded's now averaging $2.67 a gallon. The specter of higher interest rates just won't leave Wall Street. The Dow dropped 96 points Friday to 11,120. The NASDAQ lost 22 to wind up at 2339. And the S&P 500 was down 13 points to 1295. You're listening to Marketplace. There's a lot of venture capital out there these days. It's not quite the dot-com boom, but the money's there. Still, as Ethan Lindsay reports, there's a gender issue.
Silicon Valley is supposed to be, at its heart, a meritocracy. But smart, hardworking women aren't getting their fair share of venture capital, the fuel that drives most startups. Patricia Green teaches at Babson College.
It has to do with the networks, with who women entrepreneurs know and who they don't know.
More women are starting companies than ever before, but only 4% of venture-backed firms are owned by women. Most venture capitalists are men, just as they were in the late 90s.
There were many more women-owned businesses, but actually on the investor side, during the dot-com era, the proportion of women that were decision-makers in venture capital firms decreased.
Green says the industry may be maturing. More women are starting their second or third companies. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Reuters, the facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We hear about big corporate deals every day, but there are a couple of new ones that deserve a closer look. Newsweek's Alan Sloan checks in with us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Scott.
Two once great companies that have fallen on hard times, to say the least. Let's start with Lucent.
Right. Lucent used to be part of AT&T. One of the things it has that was a big property was Bell Labs, which was the scientific entity in the Western world, if not the whole world. And last week, the whole Lucent was sold for such a pathetic price that it takes your breath away. It was something like $13 billion, and of that, maybe a third is the value of its tax losses. So Lucent, just by itself, was worth $10 billion, which in the good old days was a rounding error for that company.
What happened to this company over the years?
When it separated out from AT&T 22 years ago, Bell Labs started to have real problems because Bell Labs was this great scientific entity that did all sorts of fundamental research as part of a telephone monopoly, which could afford to pay for it. And they tried to make Bell Labs more commercial, and the whole thing sort of dwindled from being an extraordinary place to being, I guess, relatively speaking, nothing much. Meanwhile, Lucent, as a separate company, got caught up in the telecom stuff, did all sorts of nutsy things, overreached, ran into serious trouble. That's how it came to have $10 billion of tax losses.
The other once great company I mentioned is GMAC, the finance division of General Motors. GM is selling a 51% stake of it. Really, GM has no choice to do this, though, right?
Well, GM has financial problems. And again, it's not the fact that the company is being sold that's shocking. What's shocking to me is the price, because here is GMAC, which used to be in finance what Bell Labs was in science, cutting edge, high end. GM is selling control of this thing for less than the value which is carried on GM's books. I mean, it's stunning.
What about the future of GMAC in the hands of a private equity group?
The idea here when GM first started doing this was you would have a really financially strong buyer. And the fact that the financially strong buyer would control GMAC would allow GMAC to get its investment grade credit rating back. They couldn't find the right kind of buyer. There are all sorts of problems I don't want to bore the listeners with. I'm sure GM did this because they had to, but they really did not get much of a price for this.
All right, Alan, thanks a lot.
Anytime you want to be depressed, Scott, just call me up and I'll be happy to do it.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. He'll be back next week with another edition of the Sloan Sessions. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Let's say you're trying to grow organic.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.